Welcome to this week's edition of Beauty Extra. We're here each week bringing you the latest trends from Google and around the market. We'll also be featuring a guest each week to give you a unique perspective on the new normal that we're in the middle of. But before we get to our special guest, I do have Tim Costello here with me. And after that, then we'll flip over to Jeff Shore of Shore Consulting. So, Tim, we had you here last week, it seems about like a month ago, but it really has only been 1 week, giving us some unique perspectives on what we're seeing in the marketplace with consumer sentiment and shopping. So maybe just start with an explanation of how we collect this information on consumer sentiment and then roll right into what we're seeing.
Well, thank you, Melissa. It's nice to be back. Your comment about how much has happened over the last week certainly is appropriate. I think we're all living in dog years right now in the building industry. The ground that we stand on is changing, you know, moment by moment. We're all trying to figure out how to adjust. Quickly for the audience, we have been measuring consumer interest in real estate over the last 20 years and have a series of different proprietary methodologies to determine what's happening in the marketplace, both at a national level in an aggregate form, but also at an individual market by market level at state and individual marketplaces. Last week, to summarize, which our weeks end on Sunday, so it ended on Sunday, March 15th, we basically told the story that starting in about the third week of February, we saw a profound shift in consumer sentiment, which led to significantly less interest in consumer interest in the real estate category in general. Doesn't matter here about new homes, used homes, it was all real estate. And over the course of those 3 weeks, we saw about a 20% drop from the second week in February to the end of the second week in March. Now, during this time, we would have normally expected to see about a 10% increase in traffic due to seasonality. So there was an absolute drop of 20%, but an expected drop, a comparison year-over-year type comparison of about a 30% drop in interest. So the big question is what happened since last Sunday? What's happened in the last 7 days is there has been further consumer capitulation across every single U.S. real estate market. We have seen an additional 23% decline in real estate interest across all categories, all markets, and on average. So if you add all of these together, we now have a drop in about 35% from the second week in February until the week that we just closed this last Sunday. If you compare that again to seasonality, the decline is even worse because during this period, again, we should have seen some uptick in demand. So on a year-over-year comparison, there's about 42, 44 to 47%, I'd say, someplace in that range. It's hard to estimate it exactly. Decline from what traffic we should have expected during this period. Now, when you start to break this down, in the past, we've been very specific to point out individual markets and states, and it still varies state by state and market by market. Obviously, states that have already gone into lockdown, such as New York, Michigan, Illinois, California, these states are seeing a larger impact on consumer interest. In general, consumer interest is down by over 30% on average in those markets, but it even varies amongst those markets. States that have been less impacted at this time with lower caseload and no lockdowns currently in effect have seen less than expected contractions. And Texas is probably a good example of that market. Until last week, Texas was actually running year-over-year favorable interest in real estate. So they had kind of survived all of this. In the last week, they actually crossed that line. We are now seeing negative year-over-year comparisons in their interest to real estate, and they're down about 20% week-over-week. So that's kind of a summary on a national and market level. We continue to see a deterioration as the economic impact of the stock market correction and the pandemic response and the lockdown that people are going through. They're having some reprioritization, obviously, in their lives, you know, as we are as well, trying to figure out where to work from and how to work at home and juggle all of those issues.
Right. And it's really difficult to tell if this is kind of kind of a shock effect, and then we're going to rebound, and at what point we're going to get into what's the new normal, if you will. And I do want to switch over for our listeners to talking about what we see in our world, because I actually think you do have some good news for us, Tim. Yeah. I probably should have told people that before we started off, but I think there is kind of some good news in all of this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big story is consumer sentiment is changing, interest levels are changing. The second story, though, is the resilience of shoppers that are in the market. It's really extraordinary. While we are seeing fewer active, interested shoppers looking for real estate, those that are looking are converting to leads and interest and moving down the funnel at a much higher rate, greater than 50% improvements in conversion rate that we're seeing from consumers into interested and active shoppers. When you take the market, and we have a internal group that actually goes out and surveys consumers every single week and talks about where they are, what they're thinking. What we found is about 70% of the shoppers that are currently in the market are really completely undeterred by the current situation. 30% said they're still actively shopping. 30% said that they had already made an appointment, whether it was virtual or an in-person appointment, even if it was delayed, you know, where they made an appointment 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time. We have 10% of the people that are concerned about going out and they're looking for solutions of how do I buy online and how do I still consummate this deal, but I don't want to necessarily go out and shop around in the process.
Right. Exactly.
And then you've got another bucket, about 20% people that are just not sure what to do. And, you know, we always have people like that.
Right.
And I think this tees up to your guest, who is certainly the industry's greatest expert in this space, you know, Jeff Shore. How do we speak to these consumers that have so much interest in buying, but they're facing some uncertainty, they're facing a crisis in confidence, they need to know whether now is the right time to buy, and our sales skills may not be quite as sharp as they need to be given the incredible success that we have had selling homes over the last 5 years. So I think sales kind of has to pivot, and hopefully Jeff is going to have some amazing advice for our builders on how to make that pivot.
Great. So to kind of wrap up your piece, Tim, we are seeing, you know, a little bit of a continued decline in terms of consumer sentiment and shoppers out there in general by looking at Google search trends. And we're seeing that on our sites as well. However, it almost seems like we've gotten rid of kind of some of the noise and the looky-loos, if you will. And we have more people who are much more serious and intentful. And they're still, if they were serious before, they seem to still be in the game. So that is super exciting. And I think we're seeing that on the builder websites that we run. Those numbers tend to kind of track in that same range. And as we talk to builders, that's what we're hearing as well. So this is a perfect segue to our guest that we have today, Jeff Shore, who probably does not need any introduction, but I will introduce him. He is a longtime friend of BDX. He's the founder and president of Shore Consulting, and he and his team specialize in psychology-based sales training programs. Jeff is a top-selling author, and while he's a guest on our podcast today, he actually hosts a very popular sales podcast, The Buyer's Mind. And once you're done here, you should pop over and take a listen. Nothing like a little bit of Jeff Shore to get you pumped up for the day. So welcome, Jeff, to the BD Extra. So glad you could join us today. And I think I will just kick off with one, just kind of, you know, from what you're seeing and hearing out there, what are home buyers going through right now? How do they focus on purchasing a home when there's so much noise in the world right now?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity. I really have been looking forward to this. I think it'll be some fun. I'm actually excited at what I've heard so far just in regards to home buyer behavior. So, you know, Tim talked about a 37% decline since mid-February. And I look at it, I go, that's it? With everything going on? That doesn't bother me at all. And in fact, even just for me, in the last, just this morning, actually, in preparing for this conversation, I reached out to a whole bunch of clients and see who could chime in and just simply ask the question, for last week's sales, were you above goal, were you at goal, or were you below goal? And four builders said that they were above goal, 10 said that they were at, and four below. So 14 out of 18 that reported said that they were either at their goal or actually above their goal. That's really astounding to me, given the news and the constant flow of negative information. I think that that's just incredible. But especially given based on what goal? Well, the goal would have been set for March, the middle of the selling season. So I think that that's pretty strong. Getting back to your question about what buyers are going through, though, there's no question about it. Sales are happening. I think that this is a short-term thing that we are seeing. But there's also no question that there is fear, and that fear can get debilitating. This is why the mindset of that salesperson is going to be so critical in showing positive energy to a customer who actually has a whole lot of concerns that they're dealing with. There's no doubt the market has legs to it. There's no doubt that there's plenty of demand, but salespeople have to be in the mindset to be able to prove that, even with their own attitude and energy.
Absolutely. And I love you sharing those statistics on kind of what's really happening on the ground there with sales. In a recent podcast, you talk about the psychology of fear and how that affects buyer decisions during uncertain times. How can salespeople help ease their clients' fear during these conversations right now?
Yeah, that was a conversation I had with Anthony Iannarino. It was really, really insightful for me. And, you know, one of the things that I've been looking at as I think about fear and what we're dealing with this environment is that the single greatest fear I think that people have in a time like this is the fear of the unknown. Because when we think about the fear of the unknown, it implies that we are out of control. And we don't like being out of control. That's just our human nature. We don't like being out of control. This is one of the reasons why you see buying surges that people buy when everybody else is buying, because it feels safe, right? We've got that social proof going on. But as we look at the psychology of fear and what it is based upon, that fear of the unknown will really get us into trouble if we're not careful, because then what we'll do is we'll say, well, gee, I guess I got to know stuff. And so then we spend more time looking online and reading the newspapers and, well, newspapers, the electronic newspapers is what I mean to say, our Facebook feed, breaking news, whatever it is. And then what happens after a while? Well, Seth Godin wrote a great blog post about this back on March 20th, and he said panic needs a network. And right now the network is the input of the media, of the news cycles, of the Facebook feeds. This is why our need to be the calming voice is so very, very critical, because everybody is an expert in their own emotion. But that doesn't make them the expert in the facts. And if we can step up and look at it and say, we have the facts on our side, and there's no question about it. We have a huge shortage of housing in the United States. Affordability remains incredibly high. The demand is still there. We know that rates are very, very low, but they're not going to stay that way coming out of this crunch. Let's stick with what we know. And right now, what we know is the facts are in our favor. And that's the only way that you can counteract that fear, is to look at it and say, here is what we do know, and we do know the facts.
Oh, excellent. I think that's very grounding, because those are some very tangible facts and data points that you can keep coming back to in this time of unknown. So love that. Very simple and straightforward. In this world of social distancing, which we're all trying to get better at, and some of us are better than others, how do salespeople change in this time? What tips would you give them?
Well, for the record, I hate the term social distancing. I don't know who came up with that. I'm totally behind the concept, but we should have called it physical distancing. I think we need to double down on social interaction right now. And I think that for salespeople, that means a couple of things. That they need to understand what is going on from the buyer's perspective and where they are in the search process, and how much takes place, how much of the buying process takes place in the absence of a salesperson. We still, too many in our industry, have this mindset that the buying process begins when they walk through the door. And that's just such a huge mistake. And we had already seen very specific changes in buyer behavior. And when I'm looking at it, you have to look at this from the perspective that there is so much information out there that we already have available to us about what buyers are going through even before they show up or before we make contact or in these days to sell in that virtual environment. You can't think about the physical, but with the research that we have on who these buyers are and what they've been going through, it gives us a tremendous advantage in getting a head start in the conversation. That is that we can build that relationship very, very quickly because in a sense, we already know these people if we are paying attention to the information available. And I know this is right in the sweet spot for what you are doing at BDX.
Absolutely. In fact, it's very interesting. A lot of builders have just said, oh, well, now all of our buyers are just remote buyers. And a lot of builders are saying, oh, all that stuff that you kept telling me we should be doing, we really have to do that now. We really have to do that. So I think it's actually going to help our industry, to your point, if we're still stuck in some of those past paradigms. So your team has collaborated virtually for many years. What are some best practices for people who may be figuring this out for the first time?
Yeah. Well, this is a timely subject for me. I have a book coming out this summer on sales follow-up and what to do after the customer says no, and how do we keep that sale alive? And much of that depends upon virtual selling, whether that's in the form of the way we use our email and our text messages, but also, and far more important in my opinion, what we're doing on video. I think this is going to be so critical. So when we're thinking about staying in touch with somebody and connecting with them, the CRM is going to help us in regards to telling us what to do. But in telling us how to do it, I think that this is a real problem because we still too often are thinking, well, I'm going to follow up with this person, or, you know, they sent a message, so I'm just going to fire off this quick email. I'm just going to drag, cut, and paste from our CRM this form email, and it's a waste of time, right? When we think about what's going on these days in email and how much spam is out there on any given day, it's going to get ignored. What we are really recommending to our clients is that we are shifting to personalized video messaging. Now, this can happen in a couple of different ways. It can be something as simple as recording a video message and sending it via text. A 30-second video message can be really cool. But certainly when we look at Zoom communications, which suddenly everybody is using, when we look at FaceTime, when we look at an app like WhatsApp or Marco Polo, these are all opportunities to be able to engage the customer by video. And it's really interesting to me as I look at it, you know, when we think about video, this should not be cutting edge, but it absolutely is. We are not using video messaging as we ought to, but this is the perfect opportunity to do just that. And when you look at it, this is, you know, we have learned this directly from BDX that your largest group of buyers coming into the marketplace right now are millennials. Guess what? They grew up on video. This isn't weird to them. It's only weird to the salespeople who are slow to respond on this. So we're going to get left behind if we don't rapidly embrace video technology.
Absolutely. And to your point, you know, the stat we were talking about earlier last week was 41% of millennials in 2017 made an offer on a home without seeing it. So to your point, millennials, who are our largest buying group at this point, and almost all of us, even us, those of us who are a little bit older than millennials, we're all used to collaborating online. We're sharing video. And I think you hit a couple key points, and that is authenticity. It doesn't have to be a perfect video. It actually is better that it's authentic because it was very, very personalized. And I think switching to being able to do tours via FaceTime or just doing a video walkthrough online with someone, I do think that's going to become our new normal. So love some of those tips. So I have to say, I love your whole take on optimism. And I reread a recent blog post and I shared it with our entire company this weekend. And it's titled, "For Top Sales Professionals, Positivity is a Lifestyle." And I just think it really resonated, especially in this time. What are some of the opportunities that you see for sales professionals right now in the challenges that we're facing?
Well, there is no question about it. Providing positive energy in an otherwise confusing environment is absolutely critical. It is not something that's optional right now, right? We have to balance out. And I mentioned Seth Godin's blog post, you know, panic loves company and fear needs a network. So now we look at it and we say, we don't need to be a part of that. This is a huge opportunity to connect with people, to give out positive energy. But just a fair warning to all those who are listening, whether you're a sales leader, whether you're a sales manager, or whether you're leading a department of any kind whatsoever, if you are called on to give out positive energy, right? Guess what? You can only give out that which you have inside. So if you're going to give out positive energy, you better be eating it for breakfast. You better be snacking on it all day long. And what does that mean? Well, what's the advice? Wash your hands and turn off the news. You know, we've got to be able to look at it and say, how do I connect with people, recognizing that when I talk about outreach right now to new prospects, it's not about a cold call. There's nothing cold about it. We already know these people. The process didn't start when they walked through the door. This is the opportunity to absolutely change their life. So I want to look at it and say, how do I get to know my customer in front of this call as much as I can? And then how do I bring both positive energy and validation that this is a phenomenal time to buy? But make no mistake about it, customers are going to take their emotional cue from the salesperson. It's something that I refer to as emotional altitude. People buy when that emotion is strong and positive. That is the role of the salesperson, to protect and enhance that positive attitude, both now and even after they've purchased and they're in their backlog navigating through these times. But you can only give out that which you have inside. We need to be positive people.
Oh, so excellent. I love that. You are going to basically put out there what you take in. So make sure you're surrounding yourself with really positive news. So I think that is going to wrap up today's podcast. Just in summary, I'm not sure we quite planned it this way, but it came out just excellent. Tim shared with us, you know, the realism of, yes, consumer sentiment. We have fewer people out there shopping. However, the people who are shopping are super serious, super engaged, but they are asking us to pivot. They are asking to engage in different ways. And to Jeff's point, we do have to meet them where they're at. And that is, they are at home, they are online, even more so than they were coming into this situation. So we just have to be able to adjust our processes and our messaging to meet them where they're at. So I loved having both of you here today to kind of combine both of these messages so that we can go out and be that force of nature and be sure that new homes win. Thank you so much, Tim and Jeff, for joining us on this week's edition of BD Extra. We'll talk to you next week.